Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Hello, everybody. Good to hear you on the radio again. I'm here today with Kelly Hansen, my co-host, and say hello, Kelly.
Steve, I'm excited about today and everything we're going to be discussing. Good to see you.
We are, when this is broadcast, we are going to be about 10 days away from 30 million ballots being dropped in California. As you know, already in the United States, Pennsylvania, I think, or North Carolina have already dropped ballots, absentee ballots. And one of the fascinating things about elections now in the United States, good or bad, is that there's a lot of voting that goes on before November 5th. In fact, the majority of the voting goes on before November 5th. Now, I enjoyed going to the precinct headquarters in our neighborhood, and I purposely got there, and I was usually the very first person to vote in our precinct for two reasons. One, I get up early anyhow. But secondly, I got to inspect. I'm a CPA, so I got to inspect the ballot box to see that it wasn't stuffed. And they had somebody there that did that. But I always voted, you know, in the booth, in person there, and thought that was the way to go. And, of course, in the last few elections, that has all kind of gone by the wayside. And I still think that paper ballots make sense, and voting on Election Day makes sense. But my guess is that that's not going to happen anytime soon. Do you vote early, Kelly?
No, I like to go in and also do paper ballots. So I don't like to give the Democrats a heads up on how many, you know, fake ballots they need to harvest.
That's a good point. Well, election integrity is a big issue. As you know, Laura Trump has kind of been tasked with making sure we have the right inspectors and we've got better control over that. As a CPA, I get very concerned about the fact that you put 30 million ballots unchecked in the mail, and there's no numerical control or accountability for those 30. They go out, who knows who actually gets a hold of them. There's some real questions as to whether the U.S. mail is even capable of getting those things delivered on time. So it's a pretty loose system from an accounting standpoint. If they put me in charge of numerical control of ballots, the world would be different, I can assure you that. I'd need some help. Today we've got a real special guest that going to be quite entertaining when we get her introduced here. You're listening to Biblical Citizenship Alive, and sponsored by the Save America Now PAC. So just to kind of reiterate, we are really only days away from the election. We're only days away from some very meaningful changes, hopefully, in the state of California and in this country. You know, I am humored in a sad way by the Democratic candidate for president. You know, she, of course, has her memorized three or four lines. One of the things she likes to tout is a $50,000 deduction for startup companies. Now, let me share with you something. I audit startup companies in San Diego. San Diego only has two Fortune 500 companies. Everybody else is a startup, and once they become successful, if they become successful, they get acquired. And they leave town or they just become a subsidiary. Startup companies have huge losses for several years. So why do you need a deduction, folks, for a startup company that already has tons of losses. You know, it just shows you the shallow thinking of somebody who's never run a business. Startup companies don't start out profitably. They have to get all kinds of private equity, raise money, and maybe in 5 or 10 years, they might be able to use a deduction, but not at the beginning of 90% of startup companies lose money. So it just shows you what a shallow person she really is and lack of understanding of what's going on. Yeah, this other thing about, you know, giving $25,000 to help, you know, young people to buy homes. You know, I have a daughter who put $25,000, saved her money, and purchased a home not in California. But, you know, it's meaningful to her. The thing that we should ask Kamala, Kelly, is she going to personally pay for that out of her own savings?
I bet you that is her plan.
Yeah,
you
know, okay, so she must have more money than, you know, than anybody else on earth because, you know, it's always so easy to give away. You know, Juan Perón and the Perón family in Argentina were famous about giving away all kinds of things. And, of course, that country, which used to be the seventh largest GNP in the world, has never really recovered. It's just starting to recover many years after, you know, the Perones have left the earth, so to speak. So, you know, that makes no sense. The other one I really like is that, you know, she grew up in a middle-class family. Well, if people really looked into it, she grew up in Canada in a pretty high net worth area. Her parents are both PhDs. They were Marxists. That's, you know, they were communists, and you can only imagine what they taught her. And if you listen carefully to her comments, she's all about socialism and communism. And so is her VP running mate. I mean, they are as extreme left and want to take this country into totalitarianism. The last thing I'll mention about Kamala is that I love the McDonald's story. You know, she loves talking about growing up in the middle class and working at McDonald's. The fact checkers have yet to find out where she actually worked at McDonald's. You know, I think that's another figment of her imagination.
She was one of the ice cream fixers, and that's why they never have ice cream at McDonald's.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you look at, you know, here's somebody that was the border czar, and we've let in 10, 20 million people. We have, you know, but the reality is their view of life, their worldview is one of not, they don't share the notion of private property. They believe that equity means that if you didn't start out if you started out in arrears, so to speak, you need to end up in good shape because you're going to allocate wealth to those that didn't work hard. So, you know, her economic policies make no sense. Her position on abortion is horrible. It's no different than the position on abortion in communist China or North Korea. Think about that. She's on par with the people running some of the most left-wing communist countries in the world. And that's who we want as the head of our country, of the free nation. You know, they can talk about, you know, the health of the woman and whatnot. Well, the reality is things occurred, so you have a child that you're responsible for. And the silence, you know, we need to defend these unborn like never before. You know, she's, you know, it's a measure, Kelly, of a person who would be willing to stop the life of a child in the ninth month. Can you imagine that?
No, can you imagine it? And Steve, I have to tell you, I've actually had some pretty liberal friends of mine. I'm still friends. You know, we have debates. I love having great debates with my friends, but we've been talking about this issue. And I, you know, one of the things I tell them is if you really believe that it's a baby, that it is a life, then you're choosing to give her a selfish, narcissistic choice to murder. And so I think, you know, it's hard because as Christians, we obviously believe that life starts at conception. And so that is an argument that we have a lot of times with non-believers. But if you do believe that that is a baby, then it is murder. And I just can't wrap my head around that thinking. And to be honest with you, Steve, I kind of steer away from any of those social issues right now when talking to my liberal friends, because I really want to talk to them about their life. You know, how are they surviving, especially here in California with inflation, with gas prices? You know, do you really think that she's going to give you a better economy and a better life going forward? And when you really stick to those topics, you do usually get a little bit of a turn in the discussion. And I do have some friends, and I'm just going to woo real quick, who are liberals their whole life, voting for Trump. So there are some people who are understanding what's happening, this Marxist agenda, this big dangly diamond, you know, this real shiny object of social justice that they put in the Democrats' face in order to steer them away from the real issues in these elections. And so I think that a lot of Democrats are realizing this is not the party that they had originally signed up for. You know, this isn't the Kennedy Democrats. My maiden name is Kennedy. So I go back to that. You know, this is a completely different party than what we've seen in the past. And so I think we're going to hopefully, prayerfully, see a lot of Democrats coming over to the Republican Party, if not at least in the middle. And maybe they can secretly go and vote for Trump this election. That's my hope.
Amen. Well, today we have a special guest that is going to share with us about a particular segment of the population here in Southern California that you're going to find intriguing, and some of the fascinating things they are doing to embrace the United States. And so in just a moment here, we'll have Afaf join us. Hello, Afaf.
Hello, Stephen, and good evening from Michigan.
Yes, Afaf Concha is a friend that has recently I've gotten to know, and Kelly, she attended the Trey Gowdy event with some of her Chaldean friends, and they came up to me before the production started and then afterwards, and they said, hey, Steve, we'd like to come to your office and talk to you about the Chaldean community in Southern California and the way the Chaldean Christians feel about this election and about the country here. And so, Afaf, I'd like you to, before we get into talking specifics about that, because you're doing some really hard work and doing some great things, but tell us about yourself.
Sure, I'm more than happy to. Thank you for that introduction, and thank you for the invitation to speak with you all today. It's an honor for me to join you. I was born in Baghdad, Iraq, and our family moved to the United States, first to Michigan, when I was barely 3 years old. And it was really to seek just, you know, better economic opportunities. And our family's relatives, my uncle specifically, one of my uncles had already migrated to the U.S., and he helped us slowly but surely to make our way here. And I'm the youngest of eight, cradle Catholic, traditional, Middle Eastern conservative family. So I grew up with the understanding that you work hard and you live your life through virtues and respect and honoring your parents. And what we're seeing today is something completely drastically different, where that's all being flipped upside down. So because of that, I think because our culture does, the Chaldean culture, and let me share with you, of course, what that is specifically. We are the original Christians of the Middle East, and we speak Aramaic, which biblical scholars have shared is the language that apparently Jesus spoke. So we speak this at home, and of course we speak the current form of it. You would have seen that in the beautiful movie, The Passion of Christ. So that's essentially who we are. We are very much rooted in the family culture and hospitality, again, in respect for the elderly and our, you know, our parents and the traditional family. And I think that's why we're going to talk about the initiative we're putting, you know, we've been putting together. I'll share the details on that. But that's essentially who we are. There's about 50,000+ in San Diego, mostly throughout East County, San Diego. And, yeah, that's why we've created what we're calling the Voter Adopter Initiative. And I'm more than happy to share about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I do want to hear more about kind of your educational background. And some of the things you've done in the media and with the United Nations. I found that very fascinating.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Steve. I began my work, I studied right locally in San Diego at San Diego State University, where I took journalism and speech communication and traveled to Michigan to get my, well, before that it was ABC Local Channel 10. And then I moved to Michigan to get more, you know, build more experience. It's all about experience in the news world, as we all know. Then I moved to New York City, where I actually hosted a talk show called Let's Talk It Out, where we had people from different, kind of like what's happening today, the more traditional perspective to the more progressive perspective. And we really let people talk about what they truly believe. And we had live callers call in, and we talked about everything from immigration to hospitality. So it was quite a wonderful show. And then I got a break to work within the UN system as a correspondent. So I began doing that, working with various news outlets within the UN. And then I became what's called a United Nations resident correspondent, where I had the privilege of traveling and interviewing heads of state and government, high-level officials within academia, the business world, and so on. And that was that began in about 2007. And then 2013, I was asked to become the spokesperson for the president of the United Nations General Assembly.
Wow.
And
wow.
Thank you. Thank you. And of course, you have to go through the rigorous interviewing process. But I remember at the time, the president said to me, I want you to know that when reporters are on the ground, we diplomats are watching their every step. And many of us have been watching your every step. And he said, we are very impressed with your work ethic.
Wow. Yeah, so, and New York, you know, I used to work in New York before I came to San Diego. New York is one tough city. I mean, the energy level is like nothing in any other city, as you know. And I've been, in fact, one of the folks in our church was head of security at the United Nations for years. That is a city that you've got to stay on your toes, and to compete in that environment is very tough. So That's very, very impressive. And I'm just curious, what was it, a radio talk show in New York?
No, actually, I did. The core of my work was on camera. So I was a television broadcast journalist and then United Nations resident correspondent for various news outlets that were based in the Middle East but had their presence within United Nations headquarters in New York City.
Wow, okay.
So from that, I became the spokesperson, which led me to, of course, the lead media advisory role. And then that organically, had me do more work as a communication strategist within the international realm, where I was able to, and continue to do so, moderate high-level events, chair high-level meetings, and then of course that organically takes you to do some public speaking. So I'm very, very privileged, very blessed, and am honored to be with you all today as well.
And what brought you from New York to back to San Diego?
So that goes back to our family upbringing, right? So my mom, my father passed away in 2000, and my mom's getting older. So being the single remaining daughter, right, without a family to take care of, I took it upon myself to come back and make sure that the several surgeries she had to get, that I was her, you know, at-home nurse and took care of her 24/7. So that's the perfect example, I think, of who Chaldeans are. We're very much about the family. It's one for all for one, and And that's really what we believe in and what we'd like to see more of in our world.
We're listening today to Afaf Kanja, who is a leader in the Chaldean community in East County, San Diego, which has approximately 50,000 Chaldeans. And so share with us, before we talk to you a little bit about your company, Empowerment One, mm-hmm. about the Chaldean. I found it fascinating when we first met about the way the Chaldean folks are kind of organized and what their leadership is like, and also the impact of Saddam on people's view about voting.
Oh, thank you for that. So in terms of how we're organized, you can imagine a lot of it is through the church, and a lot of it is through also our fellow Christian churches and Orthodox, you know, Christian churches throughout East County, not just our, you know, within the Catholic diocese, but the four churches that we have in East County. So we do definitely, you know, follow the Christian mentorship, if you will, the Christian guidance. So everything does revolve around a spiritual sense of guidance as well. And that plays into the role of even within our businesses, not just the families, and of course what we instill in you know, within our children. And the impact that has really to this day affected a lot of Chaldeans, and I would even say Iraqis in general, if not the greater region, is this dictatorship style of leadership that Iraq saw for quite a while, where it ultimately led to a disbelief in anything organized, especially when it comes to voting, because essentially they knew, like in any banana republic, that it was rigged. So they really have this visceral ideology that their vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter. And we still hear that from a lot of people today. So a lot of what we're doing with the campaign that I'm more than happy to share about, the voter adoption campaign, is a lot of educating, a lot of helping people to understand that, you know, it's really a different time today. Sure, nothing is perfect. We all understand there are flaws and, you know, illegal happenings, let's say, within the voting system here in the U.S., but we can't give up. We can't let that, you know, make us, you know, resign to the effort. So part of what we're doing is educating and hopefully inspiring people through that education of why it's so important here and now, especially in this upcoming November 5th election.
Well, one of the things that certainly has impressed me about you and the leadership that you are really heading up is exactly, you know, one of the things I have talked about, and you were at the Trey Gowdy event on Flag Day, is the challenge to the religious leaders, the pastors, to go make something happen, that they have the clout, they have the leverage to influence people and to get them to, first of all, get registered. Secondly, mm-hmm. to start understanding the issues and the threat to their own lives, their own family, that's upon us in today's environment. And you've kind of become. I've asked you to speak on October 8th at the PAC luncheon because I want others to see the kinds of things you and your group are doing to basically make something happen in East County. And we can talk about some of the candidates in East County, but give us some specifics on how you are getting organized and actually making a difference out there.
Thank you. I'm happy to share it. So we come up with what we're calling the Voter Adopter Initiative. And it's essentially, it really plays on what we learned from you, Steve, at that amazing luncheon with Trey Gowdy and the rest of the amazing speakers that day. But as of August, and it perhaps may have been a late start, but actually I think it got us even more motivated to really push through full circuit, so to speak. So our goal is to get 500 adopters. And what we mean by adopters is an individual who will reach out to his or her closest friends and families and make sure that they are registered to vote. So within that, we've created a specialized software program through two of our, one Chaldean and one Muslim very dear friend, which is a co-founder of Empowerment One, and I'll share more about our organization. They are really gurus in the tech industry, so they offered to donate their time and created a software program that basically helps us to build the database so that we can reach out to these would-be adopters and have them put in the names and numbers, et cetera, of their closest friends and families or beyond, right, who they could help register to vote. And then ultimately, we'll help make sure that they do vote, and I can expand on that as well. But ideally, our goal is to get 500 adopters to each adopt about 20 people so we can get as close as possible to about 10,000 new votes. And that's what we're working on. So we're going through, for example, our four churches, where we're asking the local priests and deacons to make announcements. And you know, we sit outside and hopefully get people to come on, and we can help them register to vote. We're talking to our friends who own adult daycares. We're helping those people who are not registered to vote vote. We've hired four adoption managers who are helping us really keep up with the database. And then we're going to, you know, we even make announcements at the local bingos where we have, you know, anywhere from 200 to 500 people to let them know what we're doing. Whoever is interested to please come by, and we'll help them register to vote. We are, like I spoke to, what's called the moms group that's affiliated with our churches too. There are about 50 wonderful, you know, young moms who, you know, I shared, for example, look, the United States has become, you know, number one in sex and child trafficking. You know, our and there are well-known rings, trafficked networks in San Diego. And, you know, for example, and then, of course, the whole transgender ideology where they're putting this perverted ideology before education to simply mutilate and make sure that these kids become sterilized and confused, you know, for the better part of their lives. And, you know, things like that, and how our taxes go to abortions, you know, since the Obama administrations, and, of course, through the manipulated bills that came, emergency bills that came through COVID. So once they hear, you know, the sort of raw data that I had shared with them, they had an understanding, but it becomes more, you know, their jaws dropped. So again, these are real moms who want to create and build a spiritually based family based on Christian, you know, the Christian faith. And so they're scared. They're scared. So with them, we said, please, whoever wants to be an adopter, by all means, you know, we're passing the list around, give us your name and number, we'll contact you, we'll help you through our database to how to follow up with your friends and family to register to vote. So that's what we've been doing, and we've been using different outlets for it. We just held the Chaldean American Festival in East County that's put together through the Knights of Columbus. We had probably, you know, 3,000-4,000 people, if not more, come by in a 2-day event. So needless to say, we were there right there by the San Diego Register of Voters in our booth, literally helping people to register to vote. And if they didn't have time to stand there for the whole process, we took their name and number, and we told them, we're calling you back, and we're going to help make sure, even if we have to come to your homes, we're going to help make sure you're registered to vote, and that's what we're doing.
Well, you know, Kelly, it's so impressive to hear Afaf's granular detail as to how to make something happen. And, you know, it's not just, you know, a few, you know, flowery comments or something. It is granular, and it's detailed, and it has what it takes to make something happen in this. I mean, the other side of the coin, that's, of course, what the leftists have been doing for quite a while. So I applaud what you're doing. You know, you are really a model, and I want, when you speak here in a couple of weeks at the luncheon, I really want you to do exactly what you're doing today on the radio show, and that's explaining the effort it takes. It takes sweat equity. It takes money. It takes time. You know, one of the things that we've had the Elkhorn Mayor Bill Wells on this program, and he's well aware that the conservative city of El Cajon and the leadership in that city is in part attributable to the Chaldean community. And, you know, to defeat Sarah Jacobs, who is the AOC of the West, in my opinion, and whose grandfather funded $10 million to Planned Parenthood, and who has voted, you know, in such a way that, you know, there's just, you know, she and Kamala could be cousins. But, you know, the reality is what you're doing there is truly a phenomenal model. Now, you invited me 2 weeks ago out to the Chaldean headquarters.
Community center.
Yeah, community center. And it was actually after taping one of these shows, and Dr. David Poole, head of the San Diego Christian College, Terry Wilde, head of Liberty Network, Kelly, we were all out there, and I walked in.
You're rubbing it in my face. I was supposed to be there, and I was sick.
That's right. But the reality is I was wrapping up a radio program, so I came late and kind of walked in, and this was a room with about 20 people hard at work. Amy Reichart was there, and the Chaldean leadership. And I got to hear really what's on their heart and their dedication to this. And it brought me back to when people asked, you know, what did Obama do before he ran for Senate in Illinois? And they said he was a community organizer. And I thought, well, I guess this is what he was doing. And Afaf, you and your group are basically community organizers getting things done. I really applaud that. Tell us a bit about Empowerment One and what's behind that movement.
Thank you. And I should add, and thank you for reminding me, so part of the Voter Adopter Initiative is to, as I said, educate. So that's one of the app vehicles we're using is connecting with the Chaldean Community Center, using that larger conference room than we have at Empowerment One currently, and really bringing through several WhatsApp groups that we have with 1,500 people from different, you know, organizations and entities, and just inviting them to these weekly Thursday 5:30 meetings. And the last one we had was with Mayor Bill Wells. And that is, again, to educate them on the problems and how we can come together to hopefully, you know, change this and get the right people, you know, voted in as best as we can. So it's really the biggest part of it is educating and the engagement. So it is definitely a grassroots initiative. So on Empowerment One, we're relatively new. We have a 501c3 arm, which is, of course, the arm we're currently using to do community service. And that is what, you know, helping people to register to vote is. It's a community service. And we do have the other. So essentially what we do here is educational services to help empower our community members. So, for example, another project we're working on is very soon we have the green light from the district attorney's office, and we met with the chief of the San Diego Police and his team last week too, on an educational video tutorial series where you've got this huge influx of, you know, Middle Eastern, Chaldean, you name it, North African, you know, migrant families who have English as a second language. And you know, just a very simple yet dangerous example. In parts of the Middle East, when a cop pulls you over, you have to get out of your car right away. Imagine doing that here. So there are things like that that can be literally life-saving and will save everyone time and money and prevent a lot of potentially dangerous and unsafe situations. So the core of Empowerment One is to empower our communities through educational advocacy. And then we have an Empowerment One EO is a 501c4 that some of the work there could be if we ever need to empower our communities through political advocacy. But right now, our goal, because we want people to help donate, and of course, to the 501c3, it could be a tax deductible donation, because we've got to pay these wonderful staff we've hired to help build the database and help us with voter registration. So that's Empowerment One and Empowerment One EO, essentially community service through educational and grassroots efforts.
We're listening today to Afaf Kancha, who's part of the leadership of Empowerment One in East County, San Diego. You know, we have some great candidates that need to get elected. Andrew Hayes to the State Assembly, certainly Bill Wells to Congress. And and these are the kind of people that will help change America back to what it needs to be, where we can be proud to be Americans and whatnot. Just kind of curious about what is your view of the Middle East situation? That's a loaded question, Afaf. What is your view of the Middle East situation today?
Well, I think I have a very simple and clear answer to that. And that just goes back to the, again, this is pure observation. During the Trump administration, no, let me go back. So during, from the time of the Clinton, Bush, Obama administrations, we saw nonstop wars and illegal invasions. Then we had an anomaly where President Trump came in, even though they were hoping for, you know, two administrations of Hillary Clinton. So during the Trump administration, there were no wars anywhere. Plus, there was a move to Israel to have their place in the diplomatic arena. And that was all thanks to President Trump. And now again, now that we have the so-called Biden-Harris administration, we have wars again. So if you step back and you just take a look at that, it makes one ask, why did we have peace with one individual, and yet before and after, we don't have peace in the Middle East again? And as a former journalist who's been in the diplomatic international arena, I think it's fair to say that it's all strategic. It's all geopolitics. And if you follow the money trail, as we've all learned to do, once you understand who's making money, then you understand, in fact, it is all manipulated, including the forced war into Ukraine. People, entities, very few entities make trillions of dollars out of these wars, including illegally invading my homeland of Iraq, which had the second largest oil production in the world. But when Saddam Hussein said to the Bush administration, we will no longer export our oil in dollars, we're going to start exporting in euros, all of a sudden we had weapons of mass destruction. And that's a clear example of what's done.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, one of the interesting distinguishing factors that I see with Trump and his ability to deal with these kinds of leaders, whether it's Putin or the North Korean leadership, or Xi in China, or Venezuela, is reminiscent of an individual I worked with in Atlanta when I was coming up through the ranks at Pricewaterhouse. I worked for the managing partner who was also on the policy board of the firm. And he had a interesting strategy dealing with, we had public companies, I was the audit manager that had to do a lot of the legwork. But Ed Harris had a fascinating strategy to deal with the CEOs of these large public companies. And that is, at least once a month, he would have breakfast with them. It tended to be at places like Denny's or something. And there's nothing wrong with Denny's, by the way. We go there on Friday nights, my wife and I. Said you can have, Gail, you can have anything on the menu. But, but what he was doing was developing a line of communication, Afaf, and a relationship, even with situations that are typically challenging sometimes and adverse as auditors. You know, a lot of times you have to be very skeptical of what's going on in the accounting records and whatnot. That's what you get paid for. Mm-hmm. But he had a phenomenal relationship with the CEOs. Trump, being a businessman, I think, unlike Kamala or Joe Biden or others, that they really didn't know how to handle these people.
Yeah.
And certainly you saw, I'm sure, at the United Nations some of that. But, you know, developing relationships that perhaps on the surface look cozy, But the reality is they're very serious relationships, and they study each other enough to know how what triggers them or doesn't trigger them. And, you know, they sent Kamala before Putin invaded the Ukraine to try to stop things. Well, she was, you know, worthless. It, you know, and of course, what I kind of find funny is they asked her if she'd been to the border. She said, well, I haven't been to Europe either. Well, you know, been to the Ukraine. You know, I think Kamala needs to go back to seventh grade geography class and perhaps, amongst other things, learn something about just the basics. You know, it would be challenging to imagine her on the world stage dealing with world leaders and you know, and you know, you had to deal with that at the United Nations. You obviously are very concerned about you know, the situation here. Just out of curiosity, how did East County end up being, you know, kind of the ground zero for the Chaldean community?
Thank you for that question. It probably would be the second, if not third, ground zero, because the first one really is Michigan. And that's because of the auto industry. So a lot of our folks, especially the men, of course, are, and I say that because men are more intrigued by, you know, mechanics, generally speaking, than women. So a lot of, like, my uncle was one, for example, who worked for Ford. So the move to Michigan was mostly because of the automotive industry. And then when they started, remember, these are, you know, merchants of Mesopotamia. So they're business minded, very much business minded people, including a lot of our women. So migrated to Michigan for better economic opportunities. And then a few went to Mexico, including my other uncle. And of course, that's so close to the San Diego border, they learned of San Diego. And so the weather, you know, the lifestyle, especially the weather, the quality of life, slowly but surely a migration began growing into San Diego. We of course, Chaldeans, Assyrians, et cetera, in Chicago, in Arizona, et cetera. So, you know, throughout Europe, France, et cetera. So, yeah, a lot of it is to do with, of course, economic opportunity. And then, you know, you follow your family, your roots, because we have a strong sense of community.
Well, I have to thank you today, Faf, for I know you're in Michigan now, probably with family. And so it's, you know, a little bit later for this taping. But I really have to appreciate your leadership, your thought leadership, and your granular leadership, Kelly, in terms of what she's getting done and the impact that will have. But it's critical, and I just hope folks listening to the program today will understand how serious this group is taking the issue of getting people out registered, informed, voting, ballots in the box, and making something happen. And not just stopping there, but, you know, working within the community. I know when we were at the meeting there, sharing some of the impact on the city councils and things. And when I first met Bill Wells 2-3 years ago, he came to my office, and he shared with me, he says, I have a wonderful city council. They're all Republicans mm-hmm. and supporting me and Christians. And yeah. I thought, wow, what planet did he come from? but, you know, it's a $100 million operation. It's a large municipality just east of downtown San Diego and very well run. I really applaud that. And I want to thank you for, you know, coming on the program today. And I look forward to seeing you here in a couple of weeks at our luncheon.
I look forward to meeting you, Afaf. I cannot wait.
Thank you. Thank you. Likewise, Kelly. Absolutely. And thank you again for the invitation, Steve. And of course, for being on air with you all. Such a wonderful broadcast. It's truly an honor to represent our Christian communities, our faith, and really fighting for what is good and right here in the United States. And, of course, it's really a rippling effect into the world. So thank you. It's been an honor, and I can't wait to see you all again.
Very good.
Amen.
So you've been listening to Biblical Citizenship today, and we've had a great opportunity to really hear from the Chaldean community, their leadership, their concern about this country. And I actually, Kelly, think that they are the model that a lot of the other evangelical Christian churches should follow, not just, here's a voter guide or, if you have time, vote. These people are very proactive because, you know, the folks that have come out of totalitarian environments have fire in the belly because they see, Kelly, they see the parallels of what's going on in this country. And that isn't, they came here for freedom. They came here for religious liberty. They came here for their children to have a better lifestyle. And it was fascinating to learn, the Michigan connection with the auto industry and whatnot. And so it's, I always find, somebody said 80% of life is showing up. And, you know, the more we can kind of get out and visit people, you always learn, and you make new friends. And so it's, the Trey Gowdy event has
tricked. That's the important part. You gain a new perspective. And one thing that I loved about what Afaf was talking about was that she saw a problem. You know, she saw 50,000 people in her community who believe what she believes, who were not going out there and voting. They weren't getting involved because they were afraid that the elections were rigged. And then instead of just bowing down and being upset about it, she took it as an opportunity because she knows that God calls us to be truth and light. And so I am just so proud of her using that unique perspective. And like you said, you know, kind of knowing what real tyranny looks like and trying to protect our future generations from becoming that. And so you see people from China, people from Iraq, all over the world who have seen dictatorship, they have seen communism, and they're really making an impact in our communities. So hopefully that helps wake up some people listening even today to get involved, because that was a huge problem that she saw with the Chaldeans, and she went after it head on. So, you know, amen to Afaf and people like her.
Oh, and they are quite the entrepreneurs. They own a lot of business. They actually own a lot of the pizza shops. Our church, we have a good friend in North County who runs the Manhattan Giant Pizza Store. Mm-hmm. And through our Children's Foundation at Swenson, we purchase about pizza for 300 people at the VBS program, the Vacation Bible School program that we do at our church every July, and I got to know the husband and wife owners of this, and the pizza's phenomenal. It's really good, and it's close to where my grandchildren live. But as I got to talk to them and understand their backgrounds, they're hardworking folks. They're very serious about their life, but they love America and they love the freedom. You know, We're in this country, we have to rekindle patriotism. You know, one of the reasons we had a very pro-America day at Flag Day with the kind of music. We had over 100 flags with the kind of inspiration that people need to stop and look around and realize what a phenomenal country we have. But there's plenty of folks that are working day and night, particularly in the media and the universities, to destroy that. You know, and it's nuts. It's insanity. Why would you want to destroy something that has produced more, innovation and comfort, and it's also been the wellspring of missionary outreach. You know, the Christian United States compassion is unmatched in the world. Though I think there are times that probably people need to send missionaries to the United States. But by and large, we send folks out and we fund those folks, and and they are there to evangelize the world for the Lord. So anyhow, it's great to hear perspectives like that, and I think one of the reasons the PAC exists is to obviously help change people's minds and get their attention on what God wants us to be doing. And Kelly, I know you and your husband are very focused in North County on those very issues.
Absolutely. And I was going to say just one plug before we head off today is that I think a lot of Christians, myself included, my number one goal is to bring people to Christ. It's not to bring people to the Republican Party. And I think, though, like I said before, we are called to be truth and light. So get out there and, you know, minister to people's hearts, but also teach them the truth about what's happening right now, and that they have a great opportunity where they can get out and vote. So I wanted to say for Leif Hansen, my husband, he's running Fallbrook Elementary. For if you're in Area 2, vote for Leif Hansen. And then also my best friend, Lindsay Jones, is running for Bonsall Unified School District, and she's in Area 5. So I had to get those plugs in real quick, Steve.
Absolutely. Well, I want to get them on the air one of these days here before November 5th. So,
absolutely.
Well, we've been another exciting program at Biblical Citizenship Alive, and we will be back in another week with another exciting program that hopefully you'll find inspiring, motivating, and God-honoring. So thank you very much, and we look forward to another week with you.
See you next week.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.
$9,000 off MSRP and zero down. Team Kia of El Cajon. Have a job clearing $450 per week? You're practically approved. Visit teamkiaofelcajon.com. On approved credit, not all will qualify. Tax, title, license, and $150 title and registration processing fee. EVs, Kia Cash, dealer discount through KMF.